verse 1 of chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a blessing to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an honor to worship and to magnify you, our Savior. We thank you for your word. And as Brother Jerry has already asked, would you open our hearts to receive it this morning? Would you cause your word to have heaviness and weight and authority in our lives? May we, your children, regard you as our King, our Master, our Lord, so that what you say has value and what you say we obey. I pray, God, that we would see the greatness of God today. That we would not exalt man, man's ability, man's work, but we would exalt our God and lift him up high. And I pray as we lift you up, you would be pleased to draw men to yourself. Save, restore, strengthen, encourage, instruct. Help us all. In Christ's name we pray. Well, I don't think we can come to chapter 18 and ignore what has preceded in chapter 17. Would that make sense? You are aware in the original writings of Scripture there was no verse divisions, nor were there chapter divisions. And if you will remember our last time together, Jesus has provided his disciples certain insights into his second coming. I'm glad to report today that Jesus is coming again. And Jesus said last week, he said that when he returns, it will be a scheduled return. It will be a return that will be visible and known to all. It will be a return that finds people basically unconcerned and unprepared, just going about their everyday routine lives, just as it was in the days of Noah and in Lot. He said his return will come suddenly, and that it will separate as some are taken and some are left behind. And his return will bring a quick judgment on those who are not his. Now, some people came up to me after church last Sunday night and commented that I didn't say anything about this or I didn't say anything about that. And my answer was, well, Jesus didn't say anything about this and he didn't say anything about that. And so I didn't either. Jesus could have said something about this and that, but he didn't. And I think where the Bible is silent, we should be silent as well. Where the Bible is loud, we should be loud. Verse 1, we are told the reason God offers to us this story or this parable. Jesus is going to describe God using a contrast, not a comparison. The reason God gives us this parable is so that we would pray and not faint. That's why he says he's telling us this story. I want to tell you this story. I want to give you this parable, or this parable, because I want you to men to always pray and not faint. And so in the context of that, he begins to describe himself by way of contrast, not comparison. And so he says here, there is a judge who does not fear God, nor does he regard man. He simply does not care what God says, what God's word says, what pleases God, nor does he care what man thinks. He doesn't care. He only cares about himself, really, right? There is a woman who comes to him and wants her case heard. She has an adversary who is troubling her. And she wants him to do something about it. And for a while, the Bible says, he refuses to hear her. He just ignores her. He doesn't hear her case. And as much as she comes and as much as she troubles him and as much as she vocalizes her need, he just simply refuses to hear. Probably because she doesn't have the money to entice him to hear. But she keeps coming, and he decides that if he does not hear her case soon, that she is going to aggravate him to death. And he does not want to have to deal with her every single day. And so he does what he does so that he won't be bothered anymore by her peskiness. And this is what I want to say here. God is not like that. Don't try to characterize God by comparison here. It is a contrast. God is nothing like that. That's what Jesus is saying. God is not like this judge. Jesus is saying that if an unjust judge who does not care for this woman, who does not listen to this woman, he does not know this woman, if he will eventually hear her case because of selfish reasons, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves you, who cares about you, who knows you intimately, how much more will he hear you and answer on your behalf? That's what he's saying. How much more will your God never grow weary of your continual coming? Well, what's God want us, what's Jesus want to do here? He wants to encourage his disciples by saying to them that the right and proper thing for disciples to do is to pray and not faint. The word faint here means to grow weary or become discouraged, which I think means that we can become discouraged. But it seems to me that you can't pray and become discouraged, and you can't become discouraged if you're praying. Does that make sense? I don't think this is an effort to get us to pray more. We could make that this. We could say, now listen, guys, here's a parable, here's a story, and what we need to do, what Jesus is trying to get us to see, is that we need to be more in prayer. I don't think that's it at all. I don't think he's trying to get us to pray more. I don't think he's trying to increase our efforts. I don't think he's trying to get more likes on his Facebook page. I don't think he's trying to get more work out of us. I think this. Crying out to the Father is what children do. Did you hear me? Crying out to the Father is what children do. In times of danger, in times of trouble, in times of grief, children call out to their father for help. That's what they do instinctively. I remember several years ago, Brother Herbert took my family up to Nantahala to ride down the coldest river in the world. Mid-August. It's freezing. Well, we were in this raft, and we hit a rock, and Kelsey went flying through the air into the water. And I don't remember how old she was, but immediately when she hit the water, what I heard was, "Daddy, help!" And immediately, Daddy was out of the raft. Say amen. What do children instinctively do when trouble comes, when trials come, when tribulation comes? What do children instinctively do? I didn't have to tell her. She automatically, instinctively said, "Daddy, help!" And Daddy instinctively is on the move to help. Now, I also don't think this is just general prayer. I think that this prayer is a prayer that comes in affliction and is a prayer for the coming of Christ. Lord, come! I think that it is a prayer in tribulation, desiring Jesus to come and end the trouble, to avenge His children of their persecution and right the wrongs. Jesus, come quickly is the prayer. You see, we could say here, well, we need to pray more and then pray wrongly. Because most of us will pray, "God, get me out of this trouble. God, get me out of this problem. God, help me here." We're not praying, "Jesus, come quickly." No, we want Jesus to get us out of our trouble, and we want Jesus just to hold off so that we can live our lives the way we want to live our lives. Jesus, come quickly. Let me give you three things about prayer, about this prayer. Number one, I want you to notice the persistence of prayer, the persistence of prayer. Again, I'm not telling you that you need to be more persistent in your prayer. I'm telling you God's children will pray persistently. Are you listening to me? I asked this question several months ago. Why do we pray? And the answer that I came up with is we pray because that's all we can do is pray. Amen. And why do we pray persistently? Well, because that's all we can do. You understand, I hope, your limitations. And you understand that in many, many instances, all you can do is pray. That does not mean that that prayer that all is all you can do is limited in its power or scope. Now, that's a good thing to do. Doesn't mean that it's inferior, but if we truly understand ourselves, we pray and we persist in prayer because it's all we can do. So why do we persistently pray? Why do we keep coming to God? Why do we keep bringing our petitions to God? Jesus, come quickly, avenge your children. Number one, because of our helplessness. Why would you pray to God unless you felt your helplessness? This woman comes to the judge because she can't solve her problem herself. Amen? She's helpless to solve the problem. I don't know that what the problem really is. We don't know how old the woman is. But apparently she feels like this problem is not something that she can handle on her own. She's incapable. She's unable to fix the problem. So she comes to the judge. Why come to the Father? Because we realize our helplessness. I ask somebody this, why do I pray for my brother? Why don't I just get a slick car salesman to go convince him? You know why I don't do that? Because I understand we are utterly helpless outside of God. Amen? Salvation doesn't come by slick sales pitches. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can this woman solve her problem? No. She feels her helplessness and therefore she goes to this judge. Why does she keep going back? He ignores her. He doesn't hear her. He doesn't care what people think about him not hearing her. He doesn't care what God says about taking care of the widows. He doesn't care. So why does she keep going back? Because not only is she hopeless, she's hopeless. He's the only one that can help her. He's the only one that can help her. And although she is ignored, she knows that only this judge is going to help her. She's helpless to help herself, and her complete hope is in this judge. Why do we keep praying to God? Why do we want Jesus to come back? Because we're helpless to take care of our situations, and we're hopeless in anyone else but Him. And so we keep going to Him. We keep offering our prayers. We keep asking Him to help us in our times of trial and tribulation. We're persistent. Listen, over the years I have noticed that people have tried to pray to all sorts of things. You remember back in the early, I guess it was the late 90s, early 2000s, the craze was angels. Do you remember that? Everywhere you went there were angels, and there was these ideas that you had guardian angels, and there were books written about how to pray to your guardian angel. Well, I don't pray to my guardian angel. I'm not even sure I have a guardian angel. I think I have angels around me, plural. But I don't pray to them. My hope is not in them. I pray to God. And I pray not because I have the answers and I have the scheme and I have the plan. I'm not informing God what He needs to do. I'm praying knowing that I can't help myself, and I keep praying to the same God because I know I have no hope in any other but Him. The idea of, why don't you try prayer a while and see if that'll work? What kind of hogwash is that? Try God a while and see if He'll work. I'm here to tell you He's the only one that will work. Helpless and hopeless. Therefore, there is the persistence of prayer. Who else am I to go to? Who else am I to depend on but God? And here's the thing. If you can move off of God, you never were really on God. The persistence of prayer. It is what children do. They feel their helplessness and their hope is in their Father, so they call out to Him over and over and over and over again. Knowing His power, knowing His love, knowing His care, knowing that their hope is in Him. Number two. Notice the patience of prayer. Boy, we live in a society today that wants everything now. We're not willing to wait for anything, right? Don't we get mad if they're 2 minutes late at the drive-through window? Listen, I go to Hardee's and Pickens and almost lose my religion. I order a drink and I order a fries and they tell me, drive up. Drive up. There ain't nobody behind me. How long does it take to pour a drink and put some fries in a little box? How long? Now, I know none of you are like that. We want it now, right? I buy most of my books on Kindle. You know why? I can have it now. I don't have to order it and then wait 2 days to get it. Listen, I have gotten Prime membership. You know why I got Prime membership through Amazon? So that I can get it in 2 days. I ain't got time to wait 3 days. I want it in 2 days and I can pay $3.99 and get it in 1 day. Or I can get it today. We don't have time to be waiting, right? Except when it comes to God, you got to wait. Now, notice what he says here. He says that he did not for a while. He did not for a while. And while he did not, was the woman still not being abused by her adversary? Now here's another thing that I can't figure out. Why do we in America in 2015 think we are going to escape hardships, trials, and tribulation? Why? What makes Americans in 2015 any more special than anyone else? What makes me think that I should not have to go through trials and tribulations and troubles? What makes me think that I am more special than anyone else? No, we have to have patience. We have to have patience, and we have to have patience in defeats. This widow, this woman, is being misused or abused by her adversary every single day. And while the judge doesn't hear her case, she's still being defeated daily. Say amen. Now, I do want you to know something. There is victory in Jesus. Not necessarily will there be victories here. There will be victory in glory one day. Amen. And I know most of you want to say that God has such a wonderful plan for your life. Do you tell that to the ones who were thrown into the lion's den and were eaten by lions? Go on, God's got a wonderful plan for your life. No, there's lots of defeats here, amen. But we have a God who's coming. We have a God who's coming to avenge His children. Amen. We have a God who is coming, and in victory, we will be more than conquerors in Christ. Amen. It is why we don't avenge ourselves. We have a God who will avenge us. And He's coming, and He will draw us out, and He will bring swift, sudden destruction. But you got to have patience even when it doesn't work out the way you think it should. Even when you have troubles, even when you have problems, be patient with God. He is able. He is God. He does love you. He does care for you. He is coming. Be patient in your defeats. Be patient in His delay. I wish you would come tonight. I wish you would come today. He may not. Amen. I wish He would have come last week. I wish He would have come last month. I wish He would have come before summer. And I would not have to be dealing with some of the things that I'm dealing with. But He didn't. And what do I have to do in His delay? I have to be patient. And I have to pray. And I have to not faint. And I have to not get discouraged. Because I'm persistently coming to a God who loves me and cares for me. And I know in His power and according to His plan, He's coming. And when He comes, all wrongs will be made right. You say, what's the use of prayer? I've been praying and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Keep praying. Be patient. Be persistent. Or else you'll faint. And if you faint, you're not His. Amen. Number three, the perseverance of prayer. Now, I want you to notice something that Jesus says at the very end of this passage. He says this. He says, shall not God avenge His own elect? Are you gods? Do you know that you're gods? God will come avenge His elect. And what do His elect do? They cry day and night. Right? Will He not avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him? That's what children do. They cry to the Father, Lord, come quickly. Notice what He says. Nevertheless, well, He says this, I will tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? Now, I'm trying to figure this out. We're talking about prayer, and now He's talking about faith. What in the world is going on? Except that prayer is the evidence of faith. If I have no faith, I don't pray. If I have no faith, I don't call out to the Father. If I have no faith in Him, I don't call out to Him. If I have no faith that He is able, I don't call out to Him. If I have no faith that He's eventually going to do something, I don't persist. If I have no faith that He's not going to do anything, I have no patience. The continual prayers of God's children is evidence that they're God's children. Prayer, persistently, patiently, is the evidence of faith that has been given by God. Fainting is the evidence of no faith, no prayer. We faint, we despair, we give up. Why? Because I have no faith. What is it that tells me that I have faith? Well, there's several things that tell us we have faith. One of them seems to be that I persistently and patiently keep coming to God even when nothing seems to be happening because I have faith in God. Delays are not denials. What I can't see God doing doesn't mean God's not doing something. Amen. When God doesn't do what I want to, that doesn't mean God hasn't done what He wants to. Right? The evidence of faith is my continual, persistent, patient prayer. And then the experience of faith. When Jesus comes back, will He find faith on earth? Or, let's put it this way. When Jesus comes back, will He find His people going through trials and troubles and afflictions and persecutions, will He find those people still crying out to Him? While the world goes about their daily routine, selling, buying, giving in marriage, while they go about their daily routine, God's people are constantly saying, Jesus, come quickly. Jesus, come quickly. Jesus, come quickly. There has to be, there is something better than this. Pray. Don't faint. Pray. Don't doubt God. Amen? Pray. And keep praying. And one day, He shall appear as lightning in the sky. One day, He's stepping out of glory and He's coming. And all of this is going to be taken away. And we are going to live gloriously forever with Him. Come. Come. The heart of a child of God is to know they want their Father to come.